there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Cats Report, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, Las Vegas Sun print edition for you old school readers. And I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. And here with me, as usual, is Trish McCrone. Trish, what's going on, honey?
Well, I don't write for any of those publications.
You contribute to them.
I do. I contribute. Yes, I do contribute.
That reminds me. I should change the tagline of our column as they pertain to the radio show to indicate your contribution as my transcriber.
Yes,
our transcriber.
Yes.
Transcriber. I just met her, but that's a comedy line.
Yeah,
I just can't. But like, we'll talk about.
Okay.
This.
No, but that's.
Maybe
I think that's
chat,
a good
that's
idea.
Not the time to
maybe
test.
That's a good idea that I should have a byline now. Okay. So now that it's out there,
I'll go put your little mugshot.
Now
in there.
That it's out there, we're good.
Everywhere you start to transcribe, I'll put a little mugshot.
Thank
in you.
Thank you. I don't have a mugshot. But I have a caricature.
That's the day is young.
It's true. The way I'm going, it's just a matter of moments.
You should have a mugshot because you steal my heart.
Okay, see, now I could tell you've been spending a lot of time at comedy clubs because
Cats.
You're just funny. But what has just come out is you have a big, big feature on the Comedy of Las Vegas.
What has come out is big, big indeed, my friend.
Tell me about it.
Well, what is going on is we've been reporting and working on a story for Las Vegas Weekly that's now on the cover. It's all about comedy in Las Vegas, and I was, as you know, I've been canvassing the city, going
yes.
to all kinds of different comedy shows.
Almost every night you're at a comedy show.
Yes, and I've seen all kinds of different comedy. I've seen some of our guests perform
like
stand-up comedy. I saw Brad Garrett.
We love Brad Garrett.
We didn't have him. Geechee Guy.
Love Geechee Guy. He's the best of the one-liners ever.
Rich Natoll.
Yes.
One of our guests. He's over at the Plaza. I'm going through the lineup here. Rita Redner, I've interviewed. I didn't see her perform. Dice Clay.
Yay, another one of our
those are, yeah, so, and what I found, as you might expect, there's a lot of comedy going on in Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen, more now than ever.
Yeah,
the city.
There's comedy clubs everywhere.
At my count, there are 14 clubs in operation somehow in the city.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe that?
14.
And that, we're talking Laugh Factory, Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, Sin City, Riviera Comedy Club, The Improv, Hooters has a comedy club. There's the Bonkers Comedy Club downtown. It goes on and on.
I just coughed. Speaking of comedy, I just coughed and my mint shot out of my mouth.
You all right? You want to go get that?
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'll
There's
pick it up
injury.
Later.
It's actually
it
my
later.
Mint.
It is your mint. I just coughed and it
That'll
went
happen.
Shooting. I can't believe you missed
you
that.
You see,
it
a like great improv comic would make
like
5 minutes out of that.
Exactly. It's like a spit take. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
I have found, here's what I found in this comedy story since you asked. There are certain jokes, types of jokes that run around the circuit in Las
what
Vegas.
What is, like, the Viagra joke was big forever.
The Viagra,
yeah,
I'm
so
calling a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call a doctor. I'm calling the Andrews sisters. I'm not calling a doctor. I'm going to call a prostitute. I'm not calling a doctor. I'm going to call a newspaper. Everybody has a version. I've heard at least half a dozen. That's not as prevalent as it used to be. Now the joke is, one of them is when people come to Las Vegas, when they get off the plane, it's a big party. Yay, Las Vegas. And when they go back on the plane, everybody looks like they're getting on a Greyhound bus and they're part of America's Most Wanted and they want to be anywhere. But there's a version of that joke that's told in many different clubs and by many different comics. Another one is the joke about the size of the resorts in Las Vegas, especially on the trip. Like, I decided I was going to take a walk the other day. You know where I was going to walk? From Caesar's Palace to Luxor. 5 hours later, I'm no closer than I was when I walked out of the lobby. Was that thing moving or what? You know,
yes,
like it's a mountain range, that kind of thing. That's a version of the joke that's going on.
But also what I've heard a lot in just the few things I've gone to is what happens in Vegas, instead of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas ends up on Twitter.
Yeah.
What happens in Vegas ends up on the internet. Like a lot of people have, you know, changed the words.
Exactly. What happens in Vegas, it goes out everywhere. Mick Jagger, actually, wasn't comedy, but when the Stones were in town, he says, what happens in Vegas? And then everybody yelled, stays in Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He shouted it back to him and he goes, no, it ends up on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger
mentioned
an Instagram joke.
Oh my God, I love it.
And a what happens here stays here joke. Yeah. So, you know, and we've talked before about things that go in cycles and the pendulum swing in Las Vegas. And right now it's comedy.
Seems
and
amazing.
I've found that I think the reason why is not because comedy is going to be popular anyway. People like to go out and laugh, and it's a big part of our history. But, you know, when the economic downturn happened, it was a high profit and a
I mean, you're literally are paying for, you know, lights, a microphone, sound for one microphone, and a person. That's it. Yeah.
You don't have to have any staging. You don't have to have spotlights necessarily, except the one fixed on the performer. Yeah. You don't have to have strobes, smoke, French-Canadian gymnasts on a bungee cord.
So, but I mean, are they doing well? Are they, you know, I mean, are the, how are the audiences? Have they been?
It depends on the club. Most of them are doing well, but most of them have a business model that is according to the resort they're in or the hotel they're near. Like if you have a 1,000-room hotel, like at Plaza, you have a room that seats about 80 or 100. And the price point is fixed that way.
Gotcha.
They've gamed the system. But, you know, you have places like that where it was working, like at Palace Station, where Louis Anderson was. They took out comedy completely, entertainment completely, and turned it into a gaming space. So it just depends on how much money the resort thinks it can make or an operator thinks
even
it can make.
In you doing your feature here that you've done, you also took part in a competition, which is, comes to our guest today.
Yes, I was part of a judging panel that awarded a woman by the name of Maria Walsh, who's known as the Naughty Mommy. She won a national competition sponsored by the Riviera Comedy Club, and she's up next to tell us all about that. But first, Josh Bell with movies. Stick around. I know we will.
I'm Kyle Lauder.
I'm Justin Mortolitti.
I'm Carrie St. Louis from Rock of Ages, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah!
What's the S stand for?
It's not an S. On my world, it means hope.
Well, here is an S. How about...
Excuse me.
That's Henry Cavill as Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, and Amy Adams as Lois Lane in Man of Steel, the new reboot of the Superman franchise. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Man of Steel is yet another superhero origin story, and it's also a long slog through familiar elements of current action blockbuster filmmaking. It certainly has its moments of excitement, but overall, it's just another product of the proven superhero industrial complex. It's part Thor and part The Dark Knight and part Transformers when it should be all Superman. I give Man of Steel 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Before Midnight, the third movie in director Richard Linklater's series that began with Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, starring Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy as pensive lovers Jesse and Celine.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If we were meeting for the first time today on a train, would you find me attractive?
Of course.
No, but really, right now, as I am, would you start talking to me? Would you ask me to get off the train with you?
Before Midnight is a great movie with standout performances and beautiful scenery and a ton of ingeniously observed moments. But it's also the least hopeful and romantic movie in the series, as Celine and Jesse deal with the inevitable strains of a long-term relationship. It's wonderful to see these characters again, and our emotional investment in them is what makes it hard to watch them struggle. I give Before Midnight 4 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Joining us now is a woman who survived among a field of 226 competitors in a nationwide competition held by the Riviera on that hotel's 58th birthday. She's a great comic. In April, she topped a field of 4 in the finals at Riviera Comedy Club, and she is headlining there as part of her prize package from June 17th through June 23rd. Welcome to the Naughty Mommy, Maria Walsh.
Hi. Wow, that was really cool.
I go downhill from here.
I love Naughty Mommy. Wow.
That's the handle, right, Maria?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. It's so appropriate for Vegas to have the Naughty Mommy. What better place to debut? I mean, that's kind of cool. But the Naughty Mommy, that's been with me for, I would say, the last 12 years. And it kind of happened. I was in a New York City club. I was talking, Steve, is that?
I love the accent.
Oh, my goodness. I can't get away. I was talking.
Wow.
I got to talk like you guys.
Which is different from talking, as I understand it.
I know, and coffee, it's terrible, but I'll try. I'll be aware of it. It's okay. That's where I'm from. But I was discussing getting my kids Benadryl and Dimetapp to sleep, and I just kind of said, wow, I'm such a naughty mommy on stage. Just came out, and so when I came off stage, one of the comedians said, you know, you should really use that. I like that. It's kind of like a little hook, you know, and up until that point, I really didn't have anything. Not that you have to, but it's kind of nice. It's kind of neat, I think.
Well, I think it's a good one. I like it. So now, Katz was actually one of the judges in the competition at the Riviera.
Yep.
So now, all of these comments, how did this whole thing start? I mean, you're from Long Island. How did you get involved in this Riviera competition?
I've only played on the East Coast audiences, you know, and traveled pretty much in the vicinity of 6 hours here. And I've always wanted to play out there, and it's just really hard to kind of network and to get out there unless you really physically get out there. Mm-hmm. So I was talking with a friend, I was on Facebook, and somebody tossed up a link for this competition, and there's so many of them as comedians. You just throw it out to cyberspace, and I had a great video from the Paramount here performance that I did last summer, and I threw it out there not thinking anything would come out of it, and Mark Massimino, the entertainment director from the Riviera, contacted me within a week, and he, you know, asked me if I want to come out and compete, and so that's how the whole thing started.
So what was the competition like? Were there rounds? How did it go?
Yeah, they were rounds. So the preliminaries, I believe the entertainment staff there, I don't know exactly who the panel was, decided who was going to make it to the first round. And then I don't think, John, you were there for the finals?
Yeah, I was there just for the finals.
Yeah, so I came out on the 20th, I believe, of April, and that was, it was four groups. There were 16 of us, but it was narrowed down to 16, and then there was four each week for 4 weeks. So I think I was in the final week, I was in the final week of four, and then whoever went on from that week went on to the finals the following weekend, and then, you know, to win the whole thing. That's kind of how it happened.
You had mentioned it, or maybe you didn't, you had competed in these types of comedy competitions before, right?
Right.
Had you ever come close to winning, or had you ever won one before?
I've come in like top five. I did. I've done like Nick at Night had the thing. Nick at Night's Funniest Mom, and I made the final five for New York, and it was really exciting. And then I was cut right before LA. It's so competitive here. It's competitive anywhere. And there's a lot of disappointing ones, or where it's just a lot of basically a big bringer show, and it's just about making money for the club. And I didn't know when I was going out there. I said I could go out there, and it could just be a big, you know, put seats in the, you know, people in the club, and just bring people in, and nothing's good going to come of it. But this really turned out not to be a disappointment at all. It was beyond my expectations.
This was the first experience you had on stage in Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
This contest?
Yes, and that's what.
How is that possible?
There,
it seems like every comic in the country makes it out here at one point or another.
I'd imagine so, but I think to become a comedian and professional and be in the rotation on I think there's like six or seven clubs on the strip, and which I knew nothing about until I got out there. It's like a whole, different venues that you could perform at. You know, I only know this area, so it was my first experience with Vegas, and what I loved about it was, unlike where performing here, you're performing to Long Islanders, New Yorkers, Connecticut, wherever you're performing for people from all over the country, because it seems to me that anybody in Vegas is not from Vegas.
you do get
am
a good,
I right?
You do get a good sample platter.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yes.
Although the Riviera
is like, I came out here on vacation. I just never went home. You know,
some people live here for 10 years and still consider themselves tourists.
They're paying off their casino debts dollar by dollar.
Well, yeah, I'm still doing that. That's a whole nother issue.
Do you like to gamble?
Yeah. Do you play?
What did I play?
Do you play? Do you gamble?
Yes, it's terrible.
Oh boy.
But I'm gonna have to definitely refrain from that, because otherwise I'll be coming home in the negative.
So, but what do you like to play?
What games do I like to play?
Yeah.
I love the table games. I'm definitely not a slot person. I'll throw money in there, but I like the team. And which is crazy for me is coming out there. I've never experienced, you know, girls dancing on boxes and people gambling. So I spent the first hour with my mouth open, like, oh my God, she's dancing and she's working it, and none of these guys are paying attention. I felt so bad for her. I wanted to help her. I really did.
If you do.
I'm like, here's a beautiful girl dance, swinging upside down on the pole. She was upside down twirling, and nobody was even looking.
If you start paying attention to them, you start hitting 20s. That's the problem.
I guess. But it's a good way for the naughty mommy to make some extra money, I'm thinking.
There you go. There's a second career there.
I could go at the senior buffet, you know?
So now, how long have you been doing comedy? Is it something you always wanted to do growing up, or is it something that, you know, how did you get involved in this?
You know what? A lot of people ask me that question, and it's something. No, I didn't always want to do it growing up, but I could tell you that I grew up with four older brothers, so I was always fighting for stage time as like attention, because it was always all about them and their friends, and I always wanted to do something silly and funny to get their attention. And I think I was always a practical joker. Like in third grade, I can remember my first whoopee cushion, and I brought it into class.
First.
And it was an old crotchety teacher, and I put it under her little cushion, and you know, she sat down, and the entire class just erupted. And that was like my first experience with just a group laughing, and I was like, wow, that was amazing. You know, I mean, I got whacked with a paddle, and I had, because you were allowed to whack your kids back then in public, and it was okay. So, yeah, that was my first experience with making people laugh, and I just always loved to make people laugh. Never intended to be a comedian, to get paid to do it, to be a professional. I just, when my kids were little, I was like going crazy. I needed to get out and do something, because you lose your identity as a parent. Are you a parent, Tricia?
I am, well, of four-legged animals, four-legged babies, yes, but no, I don't have any children.
Yeah, so you lose your identity. Everything is just mommy, diapers, bottles, you know, and you're like, I want to just do something else. So I went out, I joined this improv group. At the end of the group, you did 5 minutes in front of a live audience, and you had at the comedy club, and your family came, and I put together my 5 minutes, and it was amazing. I loved it. I was just instantly hooked to it. And then the club owner came to me like a couple of weeks later at an open mic, and he said, hey, you want to host a show for the weekend? I'll give you $25. And
oh, my God.
And you know what? You know what's really ironic about it is the comedian that I'm working with, Greg Vaccarella, who I absolutely love.
Uh-huh.
He's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the judges.
Mm-hmm. We're co-headlining together.
Oh, he's going to be here at the Riv?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Really, really exciting. I love Greg, and that he was my first, person that I ever had to open a show for. He was actually featuring a headlining at the local club, and so it's really ironic how it came full circle now.
He has the slow motion basketball coach on the sidelines.
Yes.
That's one of the funniest bits I've seen.
Nice.
It's very
yeah.
funny. And he was one of the I sat next to him and watching the finals at the Riviera.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was next to me. And one of the, you know, in the discussion about who should win this contest, there was a feeling that, you know, it's one thing you have to, you know, judge subjectively who's the funniest, but you also have to imagine what that person is like in a headlining position. And if they can carry off, what is it, 45 minutes, 40 minutes, 30 minutes for a headliner?
Exactly. I think we had this discussion, and because I was trying to think, you know, well, there's a lot of guys that are coming out here. Yeah, they made it to this level, but now they're doing comedy for 6 years or, you know, 10 or, and, you know, you really, to get up there and to put together 45 minutes and to really, you know, own the stage, hold the audience, command their attention for 45 minutes, it takes some work and professionalism. It doesn't, you know, you don't just take somebody that's doing it a couple of years and put it out there. So, you know, I think I've paid my dues. I've been working really hard. I wouldn't want to go to Vegas before I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just really, you know, excited about it. And I want to do it. And I want to, what I liked performing there was to see, I always wondered how my act was going to, you know, how it would cross over to a vast audience from different states, the West. You always say, are they going to find me as funny as the people, you know, you're so comfortable. This is my comfort zone, you know?
Yes,
right.
So when I got up there and I was able to get everybody, you know, at hello, and I was like, wow, this is great. I, you know, I I want to do this again. So it was exciting for me.
So now, as far as you talked about getting on the circuit to all of the clubs here, are you hoping that this headlining run at the Riviera turns into something where you will then, make the rounds of all the clubs here in town?
I mean, I would love that. That's ultimately what is wonderful, because if you can work, all the clubs in town. I mean, I'm so grateful for the Riviera. I just want to say, to the staff there, Mark Massimino and Charlene and everybody, they just ran such a wonderful, it was just such a wonderful experience, and the club was run so well. And that's something that's really important as a comedian, because you work at so many dives and crappy clubs, and to go somewhere where, everything is run really nice. And they were just so wonderful to me for the whole week. They put me up for the whole week. And I'm sorry, I'm getting off the question here. So would I like to work the clubs? Of course. I mean, if you can fill your calendar with, say, six of the clubs in a few weeks a year, that's a lot of work, and that's great.
Right.
So that would be great exposure for me. And they've done so much press for it and advertising and got my name out there. And it's amazing. I think the LA Times had a write-up June 3rd. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. So if you could actually find it online, and they had the Naughty Mommy Wins Vegas, and it was really cool. So they're going to actually be coming out, one of the editors, and reviewing the show during the week, which is really cool. And then Fox News is going to have me on. I think I'm flying out on the 16th. On the 17th, they're going to be doing an interview. So it's a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, it's unique because not many clubs have done what the Riviera did, which was go across the country and really follow through. And throw a wide net over anybody who wanted to audition, however they wanted to audition, and then come up with a single champion that they put on their stage. That's pretty rare.
Yeah,
that effort.
What a great! I mean, it's such an iconic club. I mean, it makes my hair stand up when I see all the people that perform there and be on the same, in the same venue, and it's just really great.
Yeah, I was in there the other night, and when you performed, I noticed and took note of, and we've seen this throughout the hotel, but especially in that room, all the photos that they have of the performers. I mean, you've got Rita Rudner next to Jeff Foxworthy, next to Joe Rogan. It's just, it goes on and on and on.
I would love to meet, if Rita Rudner is listening, I want to meet her. And I know she stops down there, and I would love. I've actually been told many times that my delivery is similar to hers. I just would really like to meet her. I love her.
She's been on the show before. She's incredible.
She's been a guest of ours, and she's at the Venetian. She lives in at least part-time in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Oh.
She's around. It can happen.
Well, Rita, if you're listening, come and see them.
You got to know somebody, right?
Yes.
So now, being the naughty mommy, how many kids do you have?
Actually, I have two. I have Billy and Kristen, and they're actually big kids now, college. So
what do they think of your act?
Kristen, she's coming out with me, which I'm so excited about, and so is she. But she's actually been on the road with me since, I think she was 9 when I started, and she's one of my biggest supporters. She's great, and they love it. They think it's silly. Of course, it was embarrassing.
Just about to say, I can imagine around 9 years old getting a little embarrassed about being the punchline of your mom's comedy.
I was always doing silly stuff. I would show up to school with her shirt on, and think it was funny.
That is funny.
She's like, Mom, are you wearing my shirt? That's really embarrassing right now. running after the school bus, just making stupid faces.
I love it.
Yeah. So stuff like that, But I was always the cool mom, though. So that was fun. I mean, their friends would come on the road trips. We'd go to these clubs in Pennsylvania, and they'd stay at the hotels and, just have a great time, So how many kids get to experience the green room?
That's true. Not nearly
enough.
Yeah, I guess kind of like, it's bad parenting in a certain way, but it's okay. It's all right.
Maria, do you update your material as they get older? Because I think of that when you're talking about your kids. Ray Romano tells he uses material. He's got twin boys. Right.
Yeah.
And they're in their 30s now, but he still tells the stories about my kids won't nap.
Right.
Like they're 2 years old still.
I know. He does this stuff about his twins, and he's like, save money on photography. I have one and another one that looks just like it.
That's a, right.
Yeah, they're classic. I do have some classic bits that I do use, and I just learned how to, you know, I think I'm just going to stick. I told my husband I'm going to go from the naughty mommy to the naughty nano, naughty granny. And just keep going with it, you know, because some of it's just timeless humor. But I do try to. Writing is so important. A lot of my material, I can't physically sit down and just write like some comedians can do that. It has to be a situation. It happens. But like one of my bits that I did actually the night of the competition was I talk about how I shave one leg, you know, the side that my husband sleeps on.
That was a joke you used.
That's brilliant.
In the finals. That was right. One of your best jokes.
Yes, because, you know, and it's been 15 years and he hasn't figured it out. And it's a great time saver. And I'll, you know, and how that happened was I was discussing, you know, how you as you get older, certain things aren't important. And there was an older woman in the front, and I said to her, when was the last time you shaved your legs? Easter? You know, and so another woman yelled out from the back of the room, I only shave one leg. And the whole audience just fell apart. I mean, we couldn't stop laughing. And so I was like, wow, that is just too funny. I have to use that. I mean, how can I not? So that's when I say things just right. Like they'll just write themselves or they'll just come out. That's the humor I like. I don't like it to be so scripted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love talking to the audience. I really get an opportunity to do that. I did a little bit, but I didn't have much time, obviously. But yeah. I grew up in the deli business as a kid. And so I was always so comfortable bantering with the town guys. And there was always the dirty old, you know, German deli owner running around, you know, chasing you with a bologna. You know, perverted stuff. So, you know, I was just growing up. I was so young. I was like 13, and when I started, so I grew up really fast with that. And my humor is very adult like. It's very mature, you know, edgy. I don't know if I mentioned to you guys that early on I was mentored by Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh no, didn't know that.
Yeah, she'll teach you how to be dirty, right?
I used to meet her once a week, and she would write with me, and she would go over. And one, you know, one of the greatest things she told me that always stuck in my head was to stay true to yourself.
Right.
And, you know, don't listen to the industry, you know, like, oh, you're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be that, or they like this. She goes, just do your act and be Maria Walsh, you know, and mm-hmm. one day you're going to get on stage and be you. And that's what I do.
Yeah, you seem to have the same sort of disposition away from the stage as you did during your act. And we've also had, you know, other comics on our show. Brad Garrett leaps to mind, who has said that very same thing, that he owes a success to the fact that he's just who he is. You know, take it or leave
right.
it. And if it works, it works. If not, you know, he is who he is. So, but we are at the end of the show now, Maria.
Oh, and, that went so fast.
It did. I know. But
I was just gonna go grab a cup of coffee.
or coffee.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see you when you come out. It was a pleasure meeting you when you're out here.
You.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
I
hope you're going to be wearing your zebra pants and your zebra shirt.
I'll have to go shopping for the former, but I still have the latter. So,
I love it.
I'll wear it. I'll remember to wear it if you bring your bag. Okay.
You could borrow my bag.
Oh dear.
Oh,
then we'll go to some
ensemble.
Sort of different show.
It's an ensemble.
we'll go see Frank Marino at Divas Las Vegas if I'm wearing that stuff. But anyway, it is.
Am I gonna get to meet both of you guys?
Hopefully, I will be in town. Yes, I'm a little iffy if I'll be in town, but if I'm in town, I will be there.
Yeah, Trish is gonna be out of town, maybe, but I will be here for sure, and we'll try and make that happen. If we're both in the city, we'll come and see you for sure.
Okay. Well, you could just find somebody that and just tell me it's Trish.
Exactly. Exactly right.
This is a replacement Trish.
Exactly.
You could find some little old biddy at the slot machine.
There you go.
I have a blow-up doll. I could bring her.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
That's no lie. All right.
You really do?
I'll tell you that story when you're out here. All right, Maria. Maria Walsh, the Naughty Mommy. June 17th through June 23rd at the Riviera Comedy Club. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.